trying to talk to you in high school. Couldn't even get a look cause you were too cool. But now we're older and we're playing by the new rules. We lived and learned cause it's time.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Card Advantage. I am Clues, one of your friendly neighborhood hosts. Joining me, as always, is Rich. Rich, how are things tonight?
Things are going good tonight. You know, we had a pro tour, which was always good to have. Good entertainment over the weekend, even though they went from Dublin to Spain, which is relatively the same time frame, which is super early in the morning to watch.
Yeah, it's not great for us in the States, but at the same time, you know, the rest of the world has the same problem when we have, tours here.
I'm all about, you know, spreading it around, but it was like two in a row, Dublin and Valencia. I mean, not far apart. I think relatively same time zone, just two in a row we just got hit with.
Yeah. Yeah, what we need is Pro Tour McMurdo Station so that we can have, you know, the Pro Tour on Antarctica, as it's the only continent they haven't visited.
How dare they?
That would be, I'm going to say awesome, but I'm not actually sure that it would be. I think it would just be really weird.
Think it's going to be a very low attendance Pro Tour?
I don't know, man. All those pros with the opportunity to actually go to Antarctica.
That's what, the ones that get the free plane trip probably, but ones that don't, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's gotta be expensive, and that's a long flight.
Yeah, and if the weather turns on you, oh man, real rough. Real rough.
Yeah.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to episode number 50, 50. We have arrived at five times a real show, according to Chewy, since 10
five real shows.
Although, I think he then later made, 20 the cutoff once we reached 10. I don't know. By now it's a sliding scale, and I'm going to say that like 350 is like the cutoff. I don't know.
That's a lot of shows.
Tonight's show actually has no real topic. I'll be honest.
Or structure.
We started to make show notes and we decided, nope, we're just going to wing it.
It's been 50 episodes. We're tired.
That's right. So we're gonna take the week off of organization. Although, you know, at some point I had threatened, I don't know if I ever said this on the air, I had threatened to do an episode about making an episode, basically a behind the scenes so I could show people what actually goes on. Believe it or not, a lot of work actually goes in ahead of time to making these. You know, we come up with topics, we do some research, we create show notes.
Y'all think we're just lazy, but we actually work at this.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna, you know, point any fingers or anything, but we actually do some research for these shows. We do come up with stuff. There are, you know, some shows just wing it all the time, and that's cool, but it's usually not our game. But this week, no, we're just gonna wing it. We're gonna talk about some stuff. We're gonna read some emails. We're gonna talk about some more stuff, and then eventually we'll be done, and we'll have episode 50. It'll be great.
I like it. Sounds like a plan.
So, why don't we talk, I guess, about stuff that's been going on in
Pro Tour?
In, yeah, like
the
Pro Tour.
It was modern. The top eight was people who relatively have not top eighted a Pro Tour before.
Yeah,
I think there's Leeson Quote, or God, I can't think of his name right now. I think he top eighted the last modern Pro Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was definitely a Pro Tour chock full of people I'd never heard of, which is actually kind of cool.
I
certainly have pros that I follow and that I'm fans of, but it's also nice to see new blood.
It is. And what was really nice was, if you remember back to Pro Tour Return to Ravnica, the top eight was, I don't want to say incestuous, but more of multiple births, because it's like four Jund deck, three robots, one eggs, and a control deck. That was like the top eight of Return to Ravnica. This, however, was not. There was so much variety in decks just across the whole event.
All three
days, there's just a huge variety of decks. I mean, Deathrite, that killed Jund. Jund was like just not even around.
And, you know, I think that may have been their entire point with the banning of Deathrite.
Jund was the most popular deck by a high percentage.
Yeah.
And now that's not kind of, it's not as viable. It's still viable, but see, when they lost Bloodbraid, you know, they were able to replace it because, you know, they still had the Deathrite, which, you know, already made them better, so they didn't need the Bloodbraid anymore for consistency and, you know, just damage. But now they lost both. Now they really lost a lot of their foothold.
Yeah. And, you know, what I was a little surprised by is, you know, what you didn't really see doing well? Bitter Blossom.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure it was there, but...
I'm sure it was, but like, you know, Craig Wesco, of course, ran a white weenie. Well, it was more of a tokens deck, mm-hmm. you know, the white-black. He didn't run Bitter Blossom, though. He ran Squadron Hawks, where you probably would have thought Bitter Blossom would have been.
Yeah.
So, and Craig was, I saw one of his games, his deck was awesome.
But, and there were some, kind of newish decks. I know that,
I want to talk about Patrick Dickinson's deck.
Okay.
The Tarma Twin.
Oh, yes.
This guy is, who didn't watch or didn't see his, deck tech or didn't hear him talk about him, he is a huge into modern. He won a modern GP in Europe. I think it was in Germany. I can't remember. He loves Twin. That is his favorite. That is like, he said, this is everything I want to do in Magic is all in Twin. But with that Wild Nacatl back, Twin's not as good because Wild Nacatl hurts. And so, and he also was one of the first players to evolve Twin beyond just the combo. Start adding Burn and Grim Lavamancers and stuff where the combo's nice, but you can still win without it.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of evolved that. And now he evolved it again by adding green and playing Goyfs and Scavenging Oozes. Like, yeah, I can combo out if I need to, or I can beat your face down.
Yeah, you know, here comes a Tarmogoyf. Are you going to counter it? If so, you've just tapped out and run out of counter spells. I'll just go ahead and combo. It'll be fine.
It was, I don't know, it was such a cool deck, and I would love to play that deck if I could afford four Tarmogoyfs.
I was going
to
say, for the low price of four Tarmogoyfs, you too can smash face. You know, the deck that I also found interesting, is, I'm going to go ahead and call him friend of the show, Matthias Hunt.
Oh my
was running this amulet deck. Did you see this thing?
That thing was amazing.
It really was. His deck tech is just spectacular.
You definitely, if you guys didn't watch the Pro Tour, watch Matthias Hunt's deck tech. The deck is Amulet of Vigor, which is a one-man artifact that if something enters the battlefield, tap, untap it.
I think it's specifically for you, though. It doesn't stop.
Yeah, it is for you. For you. And you have slips. So... One thing that he ran is the Karuz lands, which is from Return to Ravnica. It enters the battlefield.
No, from Ravnica, not Return to Ravnica.
I'm sorry, yeah, just Ravnica. And a land enters the battlefield, and you have to return another land, but it taps for 2 mana. But it comes in untapped. And I didn't realize this. You can tap it in response, for mana in response to the bounce?
Yeah, because the bounce is a trigger, and the untap it from the amulet is a trigger. So both of those should trigger at the same time. They triggered off the same event. So you can stack those in whatever order you choose.
Then you respond to the bounce trigger and get, like, he is able to get Primeval Titan on turn one.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta have just the right card, but still.
Still, that's something his deck does.
Yeah.
And the one thing I will say about this deck, and he said it as well, is most people can't just pick that up and play it.
Oh, no. That definitely is a deck that requires skill.
Lots of skill, because there's a lot of sequencing. What do you find with Primeval Titan? Because his big thing is, there's a card like Summer's Blossom, which lets you play 3 lands for a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you get your prime time, and you find your Boros Karuz land, and it's from Innistrad. Slayer Stronghold,
yeah.
So you tap to give Primeval Titan haste and vigilance, N+2/+2. Then you attack, then you find another Boros land, and the Ravnica Boros land, which gives him double strike. So you can swing for 16 on, like, turn 2.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's a combo deck. It is a combo deck. And he almost went perfect day one with it. He just barely lost to a card that came in huge resurgence and also one of the new decks I want to talk about as well, which will lead into Blue Moon.
Oh, Blue Moon.
This deck is pretty much mono blue Teferi, counter spells, a little bit of burn with red, blue and red dual lands. But the main thing that deck wants to cast is Blood Moon.
Yeah.
Cause you run 90% of your lands are islands and 90% of Evanos' lands are dual lands.
Duels or shocks or utilities, all kinds of different non-basics that are now just mountains.
Forests. They're forests. Yeah, mountains, thank you. They're mountains now. Like, Matthias lost to that because he is like one basic forest, I think.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah, it's, also, Matthias also runs a lot of packs, which he killed himself with packs. But, this Blue Moon deck was crazy. I mean, I saw Lee Leeshin get down. He had 3 Blood Moons on the table. How do you not scoop to that?
Yeah, you're Redburn, let's say.
Hopeful. You pray you're Redburn.
Yeah. Oh boy, do you wish you were Redburn at that
point. Then he would play Teferi, and he would just win with Teferi.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, what's the big thing in Modern is Lightning Bolts and Path to Exiles. You can't cast him on your turn, on his turn.
That's right.
And just hope that if you can cast him on your turn, you have the mana to do it. Because there's Blood Moon out. That was that came from the Chinese team, MGT Mint.
Yes.
They all play Blue Moon, and from what I heard, it was quite decimating.
Yeah, it was very unexpected, and I was talking about this on Monday Night Magic this week. The whole reason the Blue Moon deck existed was because of the Wild Nacatl unbanning, because they realized all these people are going to be running, you know, the shocks to get your plains and your forest and your mountains and get everything so you can make power up your Wild Nacatl. Well, hey, what if that land were just a mountain now?
He's a 2/2.
That kitty is not nearly as scary.
And Zoo was something that was there but just didn't do well because everyone knew it was going to be there. And they tried to beat it because, I mean, outside of Blue Moon, Blood Moon was a very popular card at the tournament.
Yeah.
It was, everyone was running Blood Moon just because it just destroys people.
Oh, certainly. I have to say, for the longest time, at least since it's been around, I have not been much of a fan of Modern because, for the most part, it was essentially, at least for a long time, it's been, hey, are you playing Jund? Well, then you're probably not going to win. So maybe you should be playing Jund. And now the door's wide open. There's all kinds of cool, interesting decks. This may be the Pro Tour that gets me into Modern.
Exactly. I am 100% on board with that. I agree with you very much because it was so the same deck everywhere. And it wasn't. I mean, Storm was big. Control was big, Twin, Combo, Pod was still big.
Oh yeah, honestly, Pod's still around.
Pod was a huge deck, and I think that's, if they ban another card, it's probably gonna be Pod.
Yeah.
Just, and that's not because it's overpowered, only to, shake up the, metagame. To get it off so much.
I'm not sure that it's necessary yet, though. I mean,
I don't think it's necessary. I think I'm just saying if there is another banning, that's probably what it will be.
Yeah.
But I thought a Living End deck made it to the top 8, but it didn't. But that deck was doing very well.
Yes.
Because there's no death rites. People aren't running the accidental graveyard hate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just value graveyard hate, right?
He was.
So much other stuff.
He was, but, you know, he still was really, like, Goro's Vengeance was, I didn't see a lot of those, but they were there.
I'm just going to call Deathrite a honorary Planeswalker.
Pretty much. Planeswalker light.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely, he's like a Jaya Ballard class Planeswalker.
Yes.
There you go.
The deck that did end up winning was a control deck. Yep, white, blue, red control is what won.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that deck's just all value. I mean, it's mana leaks, it's bolts, it's lightning helixes, it's paths, it's just removal and permission with a few win conditions such as Snapcasters, Vendilion Clicks, and a Johnny.
Ah, Johnny. I'm glad he sees play.
I am too. I like him a lot. So that was the Pro Tour. It was nice to watch. Limited was okay. That was actually normally I look forward to the limited rounds, and this one just wasn't as, I don't know what it was. I didn't get to see as much of it because it was early, but the ones I did see kind of were melodramatic games.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I haven't gone through and watched all the coverage yet for the rounds I've missed, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I only caught bits and pieces. I was pretty busy all weekend, but,
Just to give a mention of the decks that were in the top 8, we have Pod, Malira Pod version, Affinity, Storm, excuse me, the Tarma Twin, white, blue, red control, just regular blue, red twin, Blue Moon, and then blue, white, red twin. So there was a lot of twin, 3 twin decks. But, because twin can now answer to Wild Nacatl. That was one thing that they lost to was the super aggressive decks, and now they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And also now that they don't rely on the combo to win, like, it's nice that it's kind of like the Malira Pod decks. It's nice that we have it, but we still can beat you other ways. Now that they have that, I think Twin's gonna be much more of a popular deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Pro Tour. It was cool. I liked it. I always liked the Pro Tour.
Yeah, next one coming up is in Atlanta for Pro Tour Journey into Nyx.
Which will be block
constructed, yes.
It will be the Theros block, which I honestly, I don't play block because there's not a lot of, places that support block, but those are awesome Pro Tours to watch.
Yeah.
Just because the decks are, they're not as optimized as they could be. It's kind of like watching Limited a little bit, but other than the fact that there's so many were Sphinx's rev decks for the Return to Ravnica one, where it kind of got borderline boring towards the end, just because it was all the same decks, but it was such a great, the Innistrad one was awesome to watch.
Yeah.
I like block Pro Tours. They're great to watch. So I'm excited for this one. Even for cause I just think Devotion, I want to see what the Devotion decks can be only using, they don't have a lot of the hybrid mana to make them as good as they were.
Yeah.
That's where I think the lesser gods, the multicolor ones, that's where they're going to start to shine a lot over the Heliods and the Purphoroses.
So, should we share our exciting news or hold off on that?
I'm good. We can do either. It's up to you, Clues. Flip a coin. You're the goblin. Let's flip a coin.
Oh, hey, you're right. Let me see if I can find a coin. Oh, here we go. All right, here we go. On air. Heads, we'll do the exciting news now. It is tails, so the exciting news has to wait. So, let's talk about some other stuff first. Boy, if we keep doing that, if I flip tails enough, we don't get to give them the exciting news. I think that's the way this works. We'll separate the news into three different piles, and we will sacrifice one of them.
I like it.
All right, great. So, let's see now. What else is going on these days? Pro Tour just happened, so Modern is looking good.
Modern is looking diverse, which is nice.
Yes.
Modern looks diverse.
Speaking of diverse... Standard, at least this past weekend, was looking relatively diverse. I mean, not super healthy, but it wasn't just mono blue and mono black devotion.
Thank gosh. I was looking at some of the daily decks, from MTGO, and I saw a lot of this Azorius control that is like classic control where there are no creatures.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's magic. That's magic.
Yeah, that's something.
Well, but they win with creatures, tokens from Elspeth, kills your face. I love that Elspeth. She's so good.
They should replace the flavor text with just that. Kills your face.
Kills your face.
Yeah.
So no, standard's looking good. I actually came up with a standard deck idea. My own.
Really?
Yes. Because I'm not sure if anyone knows this. I'm not a huge fan of playing white, blue, red. I've never played that before. I didn't play Flash religiously while that was out in Standard. But this deck is white, blue, red. Cause I saw a really neat list that used Ephara and Obsidian. I'm like, that's cool. I like that idea. But, I'm starting to think of, something that's like that, but not exactly that. And then I thought, you know what else likes creatures entering the battlefield? Purphoros.
That he does.
So it kind of came with a list. It's Purphoros and it's Ephara. And of course, Assemble the Legion, because who doesn't want to just win the game? Then you get cards like the Detain Knight, the Sky Knight, Lee of Sky Knight,
yeah.
Creature Precinct Captain, and just efficient creatures. And then Deputy of Acquittals, which is, the card's so good that I wished it would see more play, but now I think I'm going to make it see play. And for those of you that don't know, that card is from Gatecrash, might be from Dragon's Maze. It's from Dragon's Maze. It is white and a blue for a 2/2. Not that impressive, except it has Flash. And when it enters the battlefield, you may return target creature that you control to your hand. So you can start cycling your detaining creatures, bringing them back to your hand. You can save creatures you don't want to die. You can just, with a couple of them, just keep drawing cards and keep dealing 2 damage if they can't get through to you. So it's just kind of a deck that, values out with card draw to get me into my Purphoros and my Assemble the Legion where I just win the game if they can't kill me.
Yeah, Purphoros and Assemble the Legion, that is, that is the rub-ins. That's what that is.
Yeah, that's pretty much, can you stop me in however many turns?
Yeah, you better make it fast, because those dudes swing, too. They don't just shock you every time somebody comes in. They actually swing.
Well, that's what I'm going with. I don't have the exact list. The thing is, a list like that really needs Breemaz.
Mm-hmm.
But I only have one Breemaz, and Breemaz is really expensive.
Yeah, the kitty cat's a little expensive.
So I'm going to try to do it without Breemaz. I at least run the one that I have and kind of make it inefficient until I can acquire more, and hopefully that's through opening packs, not through buying them, because I really don't want to spend $40 on one Magikarp. I never like to do that.
Yeah.
It just feels bad in my soul.
I understand. I truly do.
So that's it. That's kind of what I'm working on with Standard. But Standard looks good. Finally. It's just...
Yeah, I won't go as far as to say it looks good. It's looking better, is what I'll say.
Compared to what it was, I think it looks good.
Yeah.
Just because, I don't know, just the decks were... Not, I don't even want to say they were figured out. People just found what worked and just relied on that and never tried to innovate.
Yeah, it was stagnation, is what
it was. And normally Standard just doesn't stagnate that early, and this, it just did with Theros. And I'm just hoping Born of the Gods brings enough into it where it doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it brought great things for me for Commander.
Well, we also have a shorter wait, don't we? I feel like the break between when Theros dropped and when Born dropped is really long compared
to... It is long compared to when we get Nyx, Journey into Nyx,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit more even, but yeah, this year just definitely felt much later. I don't know, maybe it just feels that Journey to Nyx is coming sooner than Dragon's Maze did.
Yeah, because I feel like it's just around the corner, but...
It isn't, but you know what else is just around the corner?
What's that?
PAX.
Yes.
Which means we get to see what the new set's gonna be.
Yes, indeed. I will be there.
I know you will be there.
So, very excited about that.
So, but I just kinda hope they don't do what they did last, you know, people stopped caring about Dragon's Maze once Theros was announced.
Yeah.
People stopped caring about, completely stopped caring about anything once Ravnica was
announced. When RTR was announced. Oh, yeah.
Turn to Ravnica. Well, when's that coming out? Oh, September. What else about Matt? We got this stuff coming up. We don't care about that. Tell us more about the Ravnica.
Yeah. The core set was a little...
Looked over?
Yeah. Yeah.
In all fairness, it was a pretty look over core set anyways.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a core set. Core sets are core, right?
Yes, yeah, I guess, yeah.
So, hey, if I could digress for a moment, since you brought up PAX, I don't know how many more PAXes I'm going to be able to go to, because getting tickets is stupidly difficult.
I
lucked into them again this time, but, man, I don't know. For PAX Prime, I may not make it. Fingers crossed, but we'll see.
I'm trying to go to Comic-Con this year. And
yeah.
It's rough, and a friend of mine went last year, and she... you know, when you go, you can kind of get early pre-release stuff mm-hmm. to get in early. All the stuff that would, by the time she got there, was already gone.
Oof.
And that's the early stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's limited. It's not everything that's there, but that stuff, it's just getting so hard to get into that it's like, dang. So, we'll see. But hopefully you get to go to as many PAXs as you can go to.
Yeah, hopefully. But I'll at least be going to PAX East this time around, so.
So exciting. It is exciting,
and
hopefully you get to see the new set's going to be awesome. I feel we're returning somewhere.
Well, have you seen the latest rumors about the copyright and trademark filings?
I have not.
Okay, so this is something. Let me see if I can find those links again. This is something that we talked about this week on Monday Night Magic just the other day. And, so there are people who just kind of like spawn camp the trademark and copyright registrations to see what,
Oh, wouldn't you? That sounds completely reasonable and fun and exciting.
Look, some people enjoy that sort of thing. So the two things that they've trademarked is a thing called Khans of Tarkir and Dragons of Tarkir.
Wizards
WotC has trademarked those two things. And so, these could be the first two sets of the next block, because those two trademarks were filed several weeks apart. It could also be a different product for a different WotC property. We don't actually know.
Yeah, that could be something for Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, or heck, Kaijudo.
Yeah. Yeah, That's really hard to go off, because wouldn't you think they would do the whole block all at once just to make sure they have everything they want?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe?
I don't know, but that's pretty loose to rely on.
Yeah.
I feel they're gonna return somewhere, I just don't know where they would.
Mm-hmm.
I feel they should give us a break from returning and give us another new planes.
Yeah, now I've also heard rumors that we're eventually going to get a block where we go across three different planes.
That'd be amazing.
Each set is a skip to a different plane as we do some storyline where we're pursuing someone. I'm going to say we're pursuing Dak Faden because I don't know.
I honestly don't think he's ever going to become a real card.
Yeah, he's Dak Faden.
I just don't think that he's going to be on a card just because I know that the card, I feel the card has to be loyal to the character in the comic book or something that they care about that, which they may not. I don't know. Because they're keeping their characters out of those comic books. Like, you don't see Liliana and Jace's running around there.
Right.
So, speaking of Liliana and Jace's, we're just going to keep jumping to segues. I like this.
This is great.
I saw an announcement that Wizards has signed a contract with Funko. I can't remember thinking of the name.
Mm-hmm.
But have you ever seen, like, if you're into like, any sort of action figure stuff, you see the Pop figurines?
Yep, they're totally making Pop figurines of some Planeswalkers.
Yes, and it's not just Pop figurines. They're doing actual Planeswalkers with points of articulation.
They are, including Nyssa Ravine, because everybody was clamoring for Nyssa Ravine.
They're giving you six. The first phase is six Planeswalkers. The five original, and for some reason, Nyssa.
Yeah.
The only thing, me and my buddy talked about this forever, the only thing we can think of is we will see a new Nyssa. This is why.
I am 100% convinced that Nyssa will appear in the core set this year.
I can let it be a new one.
I say that because, so here's another thing. I worked the first GP of the new year. And one of the things that they send around in this, there's this thing called the GP kit. And it's a bunch of big black, like, stage cases that hold a bunch of stuff, including, you know, things like the clock and, the zip banners that we put everything on. You know, it's got all the equipment in there that you need to set up and run your GP. They had brand new zip banners for 2014. Brand spanking new. We were the first ones to ever use them at that event. The green zip banner is Nyssa.
Yep, she may not be core set, but she's gonna be in a set in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's a new one because the first Nyssa, I mean, you know, for the niche deck you could find her in Elves, she was great.
Yeah.
Outside of that, she is nothing.
Yeah, well, I feel like they were still feeling their way on Planeswalkers at that point.
Yeah, but they printed her the same time they printed Sorin. Sorin didn't go in a vampire-only deck. Sorin fit in any black deck that you wanted to win the game in.
Well, yeah, my only point there is that they still weren't 100%... They weren't as good at making Planeswalkers then as they are now. Now, there have been some missteps.
Tybalt.
I'm kind of looking at you, Tybalt, but...
Hey, you know what? I respect what they did with Tybalt because they tried something. They failed.
They tried something. That is absolutely true.
I don't want to say they failed. I think they learned from what they tried.
They missed the mark on that one.
They did. And everyone says, the thing is, if his plus one was not discarded at random, he would have been played.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, he's two mana. Doesn't matter. Honestly, he's already at a huge disadvantage with having two ultimates, if you want to call it that. He was already at that disadvantage of having, you know, his first minus was many ticks away. I don't think he needed to discard at random.
Yeah.
If they would have made you discard first and then draw, I still think that would have been 1,000 times better, and he would have been very much played.
Yeah.
But we'll digress off Tybalt. So the action figures, that's actually kind of cool. Depending on their pricing, I will buy some. I know I'm going to own the Pops.
I feel the same way, depending on their pricing.
The Pops are not expensive. They're like $9, so I know I'll own a couple of them.
Yeah.
That's just given. So I would like to, I kind of want to see the next core set. I don't want to see any of the original five Planeswalkers in it. I don't know if they can do that, because I think the only other mono blue Planeswalker is Tezzeret, and I don't think they're going to give us that artifact-based Tezzeret in the core set.
Right. Yeah. Well, if the zip banners were any indication, you're going to be terribly disappointed.
Jace.
Yeah, it was Jace and Chandra. I think the white one was a Johnny, as I recall.
I want to see bring back Gideon Jura, the best Gideon.
Like the original Gideon Jura.
Gideon Jura, not Gideon Champion of Justice, who's actually fine. I don't mind him, but he's not Gideon Jura.
Right.
Gideon Jura would kill. Worm coils and people like are getting their life like, oh no, no, No. There's no damage dealt to him.
Yeah, we're preventing all of that.
Yeah, you get your two little tokens, but there's no damage. No.
No.
Let's not do things that aren't happening here. Gideon's just going to wreck your face. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, Gideon Jurum. That was a good planeswalker.
That was a great planeswalker. I think he's my favorite white planeswalker.
More so than Elspeth?
Yes, because Elspeth is that yes, she does fit a control strategy. Gideon fits better because Gideon fogs for you. It's not just like, oh, if they have more than three creatures, your tokens aren't blocking very well. Or if they have creatures flying, they're also not blocking very well. But Gideon, he took it all, and then he hit him in the face. Gideon's by far my favorite planeswalker. White planeswalker. Mono white planeswalker. Gideon's really, he's really something.
Yeah.
So.
Alright, is it coin flip time again?
Yeah, let's flip the coin.
All right, it's heads. It's heads.
Will we sack the pile with the news in it?
We're going to sack the pile with the news in it. And we're going to talk about an interesting thing. So there are actually a couple of interesting things going on. So first of all, as some of you may know, if you listen to other shows on the MTGCast Network, which if you don't, shame on you, listen to more shows on the MTGCast Network. In the past, the MTGCast Network has suffered from some, let's call them growing pains, some bottlenecks.
Yes.
Chewy is one of the hardest working guys behind the scenes that you'll ever find. For quite some time, virtually 100% of the task of actually posting shows was Chewy.
Yep.
And, you know, he was really just doing that out of the kindness of his heart.
He was doing it temporarily to help out, why am I blanking on his name right now?
Otwell.
Otwell, thank you. He was doing he was helping Otwell out when he was in a tricky pinch, and it just kind of, let's leave it with Chewy forever.
Yeah, so let's not get too much into the, backdoor or backroom politics stuff that was going on, but the point was, you could submit a show, and it might get posted today, it might get posted 3 days from now, so you never really quite knew schedule-wise where things were gonna happen. Now, eventually, the nice folks from Quiet Speculation, essentially purchased the network. So, for those who don't know, Quiet Speculation actually runs MTGCast now. Now, you wouldn't know it, because there aren't Quiet Speculation ads all over the place, but they're working to make things better. And
I thought there was ads in the beginning of every show.
There were before Quiet Speculation took over, but now that they've taken over, I don't think there are any ads.
Oh, okay.
One of the technologies that we are promised is there will come a day when podcasters can post their own shows. So we'll be able to control exactly when they go up. And that day is coming, my friends. They're beta testing that with a few shows right now. We are not yet one of them. Although I've got some strings. I might be able to post this show. We'll find out. But back when the growing pains were occurring, Rich and I were starting to get a little disheartened, shall we say. And so we took some steps of some things that we were going to do to get a little bit more control over being able to post in a timely manner. And even more importantly, be able to post more than just the show. Let's say we wanted to write out a deck list. Yeah, we've got some deck lists posted over on tappedout.net, but you know, we'd like something a little more flexible than that. Maybe we wanted to just write a rant about something.
I like to do that. I'm crazy.
So we now have, here on the 50th episode, we will unveil that we actually have our own website now.
Yay.
So, if you go to cardadvantagecast.com, that is us. Now, that is not to be confused with just cardadvantage.com. Cardadvantage.com is a retailer. They're a card retailer. We are not affiliated with the Card Advantage retailer at all. They made their website about the same time we were making our website, and so they got the domain and we did not. So we are cardadvantagecast.com. I don't know anything about the Card Advantage retailer. I'm sure they're fine people, but we are not affiliated with them. I just want to be clear about that. But we do have our own website now. Now, right now, there's not a lot there. Okay. It is a little rough. We're still building it, but I wanted to unveil it on the 50th episode. And so we are going to be posting our shows there as well. Now I want to stress that as well. We are not leaving the MTGCast Network. I love the MTGCast Network. I love the stuff they do there. But in addition to posting there, we're also going to be posting on our own site.
Well, that way we can get all of our stuff up to time, up in time for everyone. So when we do our pre-release episode, you're not hearing it after you went to your pre-release. When we do set reviews, we're not doing it after you've bought the set and played it and realized we're idiots.
Yeah.
We want you to realize that afterwards or forget that we were idiots.
That's what we want. We want you to forget that we said stupid, stupid things.
That Death Rite was an okay card.
Yeah. Now, once we're able to post our own shows on MTGcast, those will just get posted simultaneously to our site.
So we're going to keep mandating our site. We're going to, it's fairly new, so there's not as much content on there now, but there might be, you know, Rich's Corner where I get to talk about whatever I want. You have to read it. You have to.
You have to. That's right. And, I did put the back catalog there. So if you do want to go and find old shows, all the old shows and all the old show notes are there. Now there is kind of a minor snafu with the RSS feed right now. The RSS feed will only show you like the most recent 10 shows. So if you subscribe to the RSS feed, you'll only get back to like episode 39 or 40. But they're all there if you just go look for them. So.
You listen to our Patrick Chapin episode or our couple Jerry T episodes. We got, I mean, we have a lot, we've had a lot of guests. We've talked about a lot of fun stuff. So.
We certainly have. And although we've been kind of, how shall I describe this? Unreliable on our posting recently. Look, the delay this time has mainly been we were trying to find the perfect topic to talk about for episode 50. We could never find the perfect topic, so this is what you're getting instead.
Then we had health issues and other personal issues that came up and guests we were trying to get on that fell through. And
oh, but we got some super exciting guests coming soon.
We got some super exciting stuff coming soon. But it's just things that happen that just get in the way. Real life gets in the way. Like, I was sick 1 week. Clues had other issues that came up 1 week. It's nothing we can do about it. But as much as we love doing this show, I'm not doing it when I'm throwing up.
Yeah, and bear in mind, we don't make any money from this. Like, at all.
You're not getting paid?
No, I'm not getting jack, man.
Me neither.
Now, if the nice folks at Wizards of the Coast would like to drive a dump truck of money up to us, we will gladly be WotC, the official WotC podcast. That'd be fine.
I will sell out.
I will totally sell out. I have a price. That's cool. But yeah, so we do have a website. We're going to start putting some stuff there. I'm very excited to start, to have a platform where I can ramble in a written format. So, you know, I'm active on Twitter, about 140 characters. There's only so much I can do there. So, but if there are things you'd like to see, if you have suggestions, let us know. Of course, you can always send those to, mtgcardadvantage@gmail.com. So, you know, speaking of which, why don't we turn to some emails? Because something that we have neglected over the past several months is emails. Now, we've only had a few here and there, but, you know, oftentimes we go a little long. You know, when the show gets to be about, you know, an hour and 40 minutes, we don't really have time for email. So why don't we turn our attention now to some emails and see if we can knock a few of these out.
Sounds great.
So, we're going to probably go in reverse chronological order here. We'll just start at the top and go through them until we think that we've bored people to death or we end up on a tangent of some sort. But,
not us. We don't do tangents.
No, never, never. That is not a feature of this show. John writes to us, not that John, we haven't heard from that John in quite some time, but not that John. Rich and Clues, which you've spelled Clues wrong, John, but that's cool. It's fine. I don't normally talk about how it's spelled. It's okay. It's all cool. We're all friends here. I had a rules question for you guys. I saw at the finals of the Pro Tour the use of Celestial Colonnade and the Plane-Shifted Drop of Honey. How do these work together and not destroy the colonnade when it's the only creature in play? And the most important thing, love the cast. Keep up the amazing work. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, he assigned it Jay. So sorry, Jay. Let's talk about this plane shifted drop of honey. But to do that, I'm going to have to bring up, the actual deck list from the Pro Tour. But it's okay. The Pro Tour just happened. So I should be able to track that down in relatively short order. Let's see now here. So if we look at this deck list, the card they're referring to is, oh, these are always out of order, aren't they? Yeah. Hey, Wizards, could you put these in order? Wouldn't that be great? No? Okay, fine. Fine. Where is that card? It's, I want to say it's like a one drop enchantment that basically says, whenever on, it's Porphyry Nodes. There it is. Porphyry Nodes. For a single white, it's an enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, destroy the creature with the least power. It can't be regenerated. If two or more creatures are tied for the least power, you choose one of them. When there are no creatures in play, sacrifice Porphyry Nodes. So, this card is great at cleaning up a board. It's great at cleaning up a board state. And so, this was run in the deck by Sean McLaurin, who is running that control deck. And what you do is you throw down the Porphyry Nodes, and then you just, every upkeep, you destroy one of your opponent's creatures. Because if you don't have any creatures, you're a control deck, which, what would you do with creatures anyway? You blow one up. But the play that he's referring to, what actually happened is, on your upkeep, that first part of the card triggers. At the beginning of your upkeep, destroy the creature with the least power. And so it triggers, and in response to the trigger, before he actually did anything, because his opponent had only one creature on the board at the time, and if you went ahead and destroyed that creature, the second part of the card that says, when there are no creatures in play, sacrifice Porphyry Nodes, that would immediately trigger as soon as there are no creatures on the board. So what Sean did was, on his upkeep, when this was on the stack, when the first trigger was on the stack, he activated his own Celestial Colonnade. So now there are two creatures on the board. And with two creatures on the board, he sacks the one with the least power, which was his opponent's creature, and he still had his own Celestial Colonnade active as a creature and ready to attack. So there's still a creature on the battlefield. So he still gets that extra hit in with the Celestial Colonnade, still having the Porphyry Nodes in play. Then all he has to do is play another creature during his own turn, so that when he passes turn and the Celestial Colonnade stops being a creature, he's still got a creature in play for Porphyry Nodes to stick around. So it's just a little trick to get extra value out of your Porphyry Nodes. There is no way to have Porphyry Nodes out and activate. You can't have a Porphyry Nodes on a battlefield with no creatures. It just doesn't work. It's going to go away. So that was the play that happened. It was a really nice play, quite frankly. So thank you, Jay. We appreciate it. And we will continue our best to be awesome and do the amazing work, as it were. So, Rich, do you have the emails up, or should I read the next one out for you?
I have the emails up.
Okay, so I thought we'd take a look at the one from Blaze.
Blaze is a long one.
It is.
I don't want to read the whole thing, but
yeah, we can paraphrase.
I'm going to give you the gist.
Yeah.
Blaze and his girlfriend both play Magic, which is awesome.
Awesome.
And they mostly play EDH and pre-releases, which is very commendable.
Also awesome.
They wanted to do one of each promo, so they decided to do three pre-releases, and they'll each take a color, and they shared black once. So he had a great deck. His first game, he went 4-0. He had a blast. The main thing boils down to is his seeded pack. He's curious about, like, he thought they were, like, random. But apparently he sat across from someone, whose seated pack was the exact same cards and same card order.
Yes.
That they appeared. And he thought they were all random and knew that they're slightly skewed, but kind of questioning whether, you know, do they just have a set number of seated packs that they just distribute?
That's exactly the correct answer. What the way it worked is, as I understand it, but I don't actually work for Wizards or do these things ahead of time. But as I understand it, yes, there are a finite number of pack combinations. In other words, your seeded pack, there's a set number of seeded packs it could have been based on the color you chose. And so your chances of seeing the exact same pack are actually kind of good if you play enough events.
So, I mean, yeah, it's something that maybe I didn't realize this either, but it makes sense knowing that it's not a random pack, that it's going to probably have to follow some sort of ruling, which is means you, once you limit the number of possibilities, you're going to start seeing similarities, if not the, like you said, the card for card in the same order.
Yeah, and I know for like Dragon's Maze, by like the Friday night midnight pre-releases, people, or pre-releases on the other side of the globe, people had figured out what the seeded packs were. And so you could tell after your first card in the seeded pack what you were going to get.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what you do with that knowledge, because you've already got your pack, but...
Nothing. You do nothing with that knowledge.
Yeah, so... Anyway, but Blaze does go on to ask an actual question.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that part. As you guys have a topic to discuss, if you've actually bothered to read past all my ramblings and were foolish enough to do so on air, ha, we were not. Do you guys ever find yourself going through the process of building a list for a deck and then end up not building it? All the time.
Oh, God, all the time.
I can't think of how many lists I have scribbled down in notebooks, in my phone, on my computer, that don't come to fruition.
Yeah, see, I have the, I go a step further than that, and it's even worse. I'll get a deck list idea in my mind, and I'm like, oh yeah, there's this card, and this card, and this card, and I won't even bother writing it down. I'll just go and start going through binders and boxes and finding cards, and I'll pull them off to the side, and I'll put them in like a deck box. You know, I just find an empty deck box, and I put them in there. Like, I started to build a black-white commander deck this way. And I got maybe 20, 25 cards in there that I thought I wanted to use. And then I got busy. I got distracted by something shiny or, you know, I don't know. I got distracted. And I recently found that deck box with like 25 different black-white cards in it. And I open it up. I'm like, what are these? And I pull them out and I start flipping through them. I'm like, I have no... Oh, yeah, like 6 months ago, I started to build this.
Who's your commander?
It was going to be Ghost Stepdad, Obsidot.
Nice. It's a good one.
So, yeah, Blaze, absolutely. This happens to me all the time.
He goes on to finish, as a commander player, I find that for every built deck I have, I probably have just as many deck lists that I've half put or proxy just sitting in a text PDF or deck on my desk. Yep, I mean, we're very similar.
Yeah. And he ends by saying, again, love the show. Sorry I rambled on a bit too long. Oh, we wouldn't know anything about rambling a bit too long. Keep doing what you're doing, because it keeps me from punching my coworkers in the face sometimes.
Yeah. I like how it's sometimes, because that means sometimes he does punch them in the face.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. We are trying to, we're trying to help you keep your job, let's say. unless your job somehow involves normally punching people in the face. I don't know. Maybe.
Could be a boxer. We don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
So yeah, I mean, I've so many deck lists that I've scribbled out that never come to fruition. I have a lot of commander decks where like, oh, I want to build this general. Sounds awesome. I want to do this. I want to get this. I even get like a buy list up on like Card Kingdom or whatever site I'm going. I'll have like everything sitting in a cart and I'll just never buy it.
Oh yeah. I've done I have cards in my cart and I'll get around to ordering these. And then like a week goes by and it's like, I don't remember why I was buying that. That card makes no sense.
Exactly. I have no more synergy. I have no idea or motivation to make that commander anymore. And I'm like, empty cart.
Yeah.
Which actually is probably a good thing, because that means I've saved a lot of money.
Right. Absolutely.
Because I remember for a while, I had a full cart. Not like full, like, there was a lot of cards in there, but they weren't like really expensive. And just a list, and I was ready to make Miri, the mono black cat vampire.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to make it, and I didn't, I'm glad I didn't, because I really have no use for that deck anymore. I have too many commander decks, and I need more.
Yeah. So, moving on to another email. We have a fairly lengthy email from longtime listener Kim, who has emailed us on a number of occasions. Now, Kim, if I'm not mistaken, you had sent me some cards to sign via somebody else. They were passed off to me, and I signed some Clues Tones, and I passed them back off to Jeremy Schofield, who was supposed to get them to you. I think those were your cards. Let me know if you got them or if I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, I gotta find out if Jeremy Schofield ever gave those cards back. So anyway, so
he's holding them, and he just puts them, hugs them, like, Jeremy's never letting them go.
So he had been listening to some of our recent work and wanted to bring up something that we sort of missed, that there's no green-white planeswalker. And you know what, Kim? You're absolutely right. There is no green-white planeswalker. But Kim went a step further and has provided us with some information that we're going to pass along to everybody, which is he compiled a list of all of the multicolored planeswalkers. So in blue-white, of course, we have Venser.
Love Venser. Love Venser.
Yeah, it's sad that he's dead.
A little bit, but yeah. Time shifted. We're fine.
That's right. We can always look at him at a different time period. That'll be okay.
Which doesn't make sense, Because if he's time-shifted in the future, why is he dead now?
It's a good question. In black-white, we've got Sorin, Lord of Innistrad.
One of my favorite planeswalkers ever printed.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Pretty good. In red-white, we've got everyone's favorite kitty cat, a Johnny Vengeant.
Very good planeswalker.
Of course, green-white, nothing.
Mwah, mwah.
In blue-black...
Two of my favorite planeswalkers ever printed.
Yeah. Ashiok, Nightmare Weaver, and Tezzeret, Agent Ebolus.
Tezzeret, he was very niche, but he was so good.
Oh, I love Tezzeret.
He was so good at that niche he was in.
Yeah.
Just so good. Turning my Graf Digger's cage into a 4-4 or 5-5 and hitting people with them was awesome.
It's funny because it's true. Blue-red, we have Raul Zarek.
Solid planeswalker.
Blue-green, we've got Kiora, the Crashing Wave.
I've had a chance to play with her yet.
Everybody loves getting Krakens.
Who doesn't? I mean, also, just a side note, she is from Zendikar.
Yes.
I don't know if that's an inkling that we're going back there anytime soon, but... She is from Zendikar.
I can almost guarantee we're going to go back to Zendikar at some point.
I know we will. It's just
when so popular. Now, Mauro talked about this on one of his podcasts. I don't know if you listen to Drive to Work.
Sometimes the sound quality bothers me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I know he's trying to maintain that kind of, casual feel to it.
I like the idea of what he does. It's just hard for me to listen to.
Yeah, it's great content. I just wish that they'd put just a tiny bit more effort into making the audio quality just a little bit better. You know, maybe get him a mic for his iPhone and maybe a mount so it's always in the same place in the car. Cause sometimes it's like he's got it right next to him. And sometimes it's like, I put it in the trunk so that you wouldn't hear me. But anyway, in one of his recent episodes, he talked about returning to planes. And the discussions internally put it at somewhere between a minimum of like 4 years is the absolute minimum of how soon they could go back to a plane. And even that's pushing it. And a maximum of like 9 or 10 years, maybe 8 to 10 years. Because if you take too long to go back to a plane, no one remembers it.
They don't care anymore.
Yeah. So
for anyone who played Magic during Zendikar and Innistrad, they will care. Mm-hmm. They, 10 years from now, that set comes out, I'll be like, yeah, finally.
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll see these in 4, though.
No. I'm gonna guess that, Zendikar is probably gonna be maybe in the 6-year range.
Probably.
When we'll go back. I don't know. We'll see.
I'd like to see us go back to Lorwyn, but I just don't think we will anytime soon, just because we're coming off a multicolored set.
Yeah.
So, if we return somewhere, at least one place, Kamigawa.
Hey, I could see them doing a Japanese or Chinese mythology themed set, but doing it better this time.
Honestly, if you look at individual cards and what came out of Kamigawa, Kamigawa was great. But if you look at just the building a deck because of all the legends, and the legend rule wasn't like the legend rule is now, where it's worth running multiples of the legend.
Mm-hmm.
Your deck lists were huge.
One of this and one of that.
Yeah, it's just your deck they lacked consistency because of the legend. But with the new legend rule, and maybe they don't print 80 some legends, that Kamigawa could go back there, and there's a lot of mechanics to reuse. Channeling was awesome. Just the different, the tribal feel of it, the patrons, stuff like that. That was really cool. So I'd like to see going back to Kamigawa and knowing what they did wrong, how they can fix to do it right.
So what's great is we got to Kamigawa from mentioning Kiora, the Crashing Wave, because we still have some more planeswalkers to talk about.
How we roll, people. This isn't news to you.
Because in black-red, we have Sarkin the Mad.
Surprisingly good sometimes.
In black-green, we have Vraska the Unseen, and we have an honorary Garrick the Veil Cursed, since, of course, his color identity on the reverse side is, of course, black. So
I give him that he's green-black.
I'll allow it. Absolutely. Incidentally, while we're tangenting, yes, I'm going to go ahead and use that word. While we're tangenting, if you look at the action figure for Garrick that they're going to make...
He looks cursed.
He does not look good.
He looks like the backside.
Yeah, that is not a healthy
look. Garrick Relentless? Yeah, Relentless.
Is it Garrick Relentless? Yeah.
Garrick Relentless flipped over to Garrick the Cursed.
Yeah.
Garrick the Veil Cursed.
Right.
Which, honestly, is by far my favorite Garrick.
He's pretty darned cool. And then, in red-green, we have Domri Raid, Sarkhan Vol, and Xenagos the Reveler.
Yeah, the red-green gets the most multicolored planeswalkers.
Well, red-green is a very popular... I know you don't care for it, but it's a very popular combination.
Yeah. they gave me Ashiok, so I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a lot of planeswalkers and colors that I love to play, so I can't really argue that.
He goes on and has a whole list of cards that he wanted to make some comments about. I don't know that we're going to go through all of these.
Point out, he's bringing up 12 cards he wished we would have talked about. We talked about at least just shy of half. I'm just putting that up there. Not that you're a liar at all, staring intently at you.
Now, I do want to look at one of these, which is Raised by Wolves. Which at the time I had mentioned that it was, you know, a Leonin who was raised by wolves, which seems kind of strange if you look at the art. He writes, Kim writes to us, from a Vorthos perspective, a Leonin is a cat, and wolves are Canis lupus, which are also technically a cat.
Pretty sure so, wolves aren't technically a cat.
Yeah, I'd have to double check on that. But either way, it just seems odd that a Leonin is raised by wolves, is what I'm saying. It doesn't seem quite as impressive, but... Yeah, now give me some squirrels that were raised by wolves. In fact, let's have a whole block devoted to squirrels. I'd be cool with that.
Ugh. Then I just have to, then there's gotta be like just a flood card that says kill all squirrels. Forever.
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 It actually reaches back in time so that the squirrels in your previous games also died. Now figure out
They create a new, like, zone where cards just, it's gone. Like, it's not exiled, you can't bring it back, it's not dead, there's no graveyard, it's just, they're gone forever. The cards are ripped up and shredded.
The rules text says, call a judge. The judge replaces all squirrels in your deck with basic, let's go with...
Islands.
I was going to say forests, but okay.
It's a flood, though, so it's got to be islands.
Sure. Hey, speaking of Kamigawa, Kim also mentions that since I'm going off a bit on the Vorthos side, here's a question. Should the Myojin of Kamigawa be issued in errata so that they are now legendary creature god spirit?
No.
Hmm.
I think gods should be strictly Theros. And I think they will always be strictly the Theros.
Yeah.
Because, yes, the Myojin are like gods, but the Japanese culture didn't believe in them that way.
Hmm.
If you can use language-wise, they can kind of base it to what we kind of base gods off of, but that's not how they imagine them.
Right.
It is different. I mean, I'm not saying I'm an expert on Japanese mythology or anything like along those lines, but I do have an interest in Japanese culture, so I do have a rough understanding of some of that, and I don't think it's the same thing as how we imagine gods to be. I think okay. This language puts them very similar from what I understand. Someone out there who might know better can correct me if I'm wrong, and then I just won't listen to you. And I'll just keep going on with what's inside my head. But no, I honestly do not think there should be an errata for anything else to be called a god. I think gods will strictly be the very unique cards they printed for Theros.
Right. And one other thing he mentions, he suggests a possible future episode about acquiring, sorting, and or collecting cards. So doing things like obtaining foreign cards, unusuals, foils, olds, that sort of thing. And yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea. Rich and I were talking about this just before the show. You know, just organizing your cards is a huge task in and of itself. So, yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. So, let's see now. I think the next one we have flagged is this, this modern mana base one back here from January 4th, if you want to hit that one.
Excuse me. Yep. Just listened to episode 24. Man, you're behind.
we thought we were behind.
Jeremy Schofield made good points about modern mana bases and how he helps friends by loaning them cards. If they have the mana, he can equip multiple competitive decks with the same lands. And I was hoping you could help me since I refute Twitter. You could help me consolidate my modern mana base a bit and put me in more firm footing. I have no idea why in the middle he put since I refute Twitter. I have a couple complete sets of shocks and checks and mainly short on fetches. What I do have is he has 4 arid bases, 3 misty brain forces, 1 scalding tard, 1 verdict catacomb, and 1 cascade bluffs. Which direction should I go in for my fetches? One, those cards like the Cascade Bluffs and whatnot are really cool. I don't think that they're not as big in the modern mana base. For certain decks like Storm and stuff, they are, because Storm wants as much multicolor to be able to do whatever spells they want at the right time. And since it's two colors, those kind of deck mana bases I think work better for like the Twins, the Storms, the two color decks, which most modern isn't two color decks though. So I don't think those, because if I remember, those are the filter lands, right?
You
tap
so.
It in another land and it gives you a red and a blue, two blue, two red.
Let's go check it out. Yeah, so,
pretty sure I'm right.
Yes, so you can pay a red or blue, tap, add blue, 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 red, or red, red to your mana pool.
Yeah, so it helps filter your mana out.
Yeah. So we may not be the best guys to ask about trading and acquiring. I don't know about you, Rich, but I barely trade at all.
I don't trade. I can
count the number of trades that I've ever done, like on two hands total. It's just not a thing I do. I'm a collector. I'm a net sink of cards.
Yeah.
Cards come to me, and I build play sets of everything I can, and then extras that I have, I usually give away to random people at the shop. So yeah, that's, I mean, I don't, you know, usually trade, so I'm not the guy to ask. So my advice, given that, is that what you should do is collect four of everything. Now that's not very helpful.
We're going to ignore Clues' advice, and I'm going to look at what you do have, because most of them, if you have the complete set of the shocks, you're fine in those aspects, clearly. Checks, not as much. Mostly you're going to find those in control decks. Are still going to use check lands. Maybe, I know a couple Tron decks do as well, but most likely you're not going to use that many checks. So the check lands in modern.
He's missing one of the shocks. Which is it?
He says, I have, at this time,
he has a complete set of the shocks. I'm sorry, there it is. No, I'm sorry, I was thinking fetches. I was looking at the fetches. Sorry.
Well, he is missing, he has no marsh flats.
That's the one.
So, based on the cards you do have, I think that you have four Arid Mesa, you're fine there. Get another Misty Rainforest and probably round up your Verdant Catacombs. And they think then that gives you three of, you have a fetch land for every color.
Yeah.
So depending, so it may not be as optimized as it would be if you had everything you want, but you should be able to use fetches for every deck, for any deck. Because, I mean, you're going to have, your mana base would be set up better for green and... Yeah, mostly green, because that's the only one that you'll have both colors for both greens. So you'll be optimally set up for green, but you'd still be able to build a mana base out of with those. There's decks you could use all nine of those, or all 12 of those in your mana base, which you never would, but you could. So, that would be my suggestion, because that way you don't have to buy Marsh Flats, and Verdant Catacombs are one of the cheaper of the lands, which is rough to say in itself. So that would be my suggestion on that, if that's what you're looking to acquire.
I'd like to revise my advice. Okay, so what you want to do is take the four Arid Maces, get three more Scalding Tarns. So you have four Arid Maces, four Scalding Tarns. Now go ahead and start building Legacy Thoblins and play that.
You're terrible.
Yeah, which, speaking of which, I forget who had emailed us about it, and someone sent me a message on Twitter. I had promised long ago to put my current Legacy Thoblins list up. It is now up. It's on our tappedout.net account. So there'll be a link to our tappedout.net in the show notes, and so you can see my current version of it. I've decided, however, I'm probably going to revise that deck list, because I really think the Spirit of the Labyrinth, as much as I love it and it's cute, I think it's a little too cute. I've never actually had the card help me, so it's probably coming out. Anyway, that's my advice, which is play Legacy Goblins, which is not actually what you asked at all in any way. I'm sorry, but
it's fine. We're around. We're good.
Yeah.
So that would be my suggestion to help out your mana base. I don't play a lot of modern. I have no fetches. I didn't play during Zendikar, I was stupid and didn't buy them when they were like $10 a piece. Because I was worried about getting the shocks over the fetches, but then the shocks became available and fetches went skyrocketing in price. Thank you, Wizards.
Oh, man.
I mean, at least the shocks were never what the fetches are. Price-wise, the secondary, they were never that expensive. Were they?
No, I don't think so. That the Shocks, even before the reprint of the Shocks, I want to say that the most expensive was around like $30. And I swear some of the fetches are like 50 or 60 these days.
Yeah, I think Rainforest and Scalding Tarns are pretty close to 60.
That's just crazy. Just crazy.
So, otherwise, cheap mana bases are Tron. Tron has very cheap mana base.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably find, using Misty Rainforests and your Scalding Tarn, you could probably run the Blue Moon deck. You wouldn't have as much dual lands, but you could probably run it no problem.
So another email, moving along. At least one more email. Ben Gutteridge writes us and says, Rich asked me in the last episode why I went with blue-black instead of some other color choices for my EDH deck. I wanted to use black so I had access to creatures in graveyards as well as those in play. I hadn't really considered Esper as I was planning on using Lazav as my general, but I think I'll probably switch to Marik, so thanks for the suggestion. So there we go. We're helping people out in all kinds of formats, even though I just tried to drive a guy from Modern to Legacy. But other than that, we're totally helping people out.
Am I trying to steer someone away from? I'm confusing the question that he asked.
Yeah, I don't actually remember which episode this is in relation to. The email came in late December, so it was probably one of our episodes just before then.
Did he tweet me? Did he send another email?
I was going to say, he may have sent another email. Here it is. Yeah. Okay. So he had sent us an email that he was using a blue-black EDH deck that revolved around stealing his opponent's creatures and was wondering if I could gain permanent control of a creature by stealing it with something like Old Man of the Sea. Yes, this is the Old Man of the Sea and the Conjurer's Closet one. So I don't remember what you said at the time about blue-black. I can't imagine you saying that blue-black was a bad idea.
I think I didn't like blue-black with the – oh, I know. I think I considered – why he was using black when he could have been easily running Bant and been using Songsinger or Soul Singer.
Mm.
I think that's why, is because everything in the combo he was using wasn't using black.
Right.
That's why. So I was curious on why he wasn't using Bant, but Esper works well too because it has the one chick that when she untaps, she destroys what she stole.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's most of the backlog of the emails that we wanted to talk about. There are several suggestions we have been and are still soliciting suggestions for building a deck, because we're going to do a build a deck on air episode. We're still working. That one has been a problem with scheduling the particular guest we're trying to get to do that with. I'm not going to say who it is. I'm just going to say that person might have been busy traveling to, say, Spain recently. So I'll let you fill in the blanks your own there. So there you go.
And if you think he was on the Pro Tour, he meant someone who was actually just going to Spain. You don't know who he is.
Yeah, he was just going to Spain let's say, vacation. Their family, I'm going to say, maybe. Okay, it's not really true, but okay. So, that's the email. That's the big news. We've talked about the Pro Tour. What else do we have to discuss these days? The deck list for Jace versus Verasco was released.
Ooh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that just came out, I think, yesterday on the mothership.
Thank you. Got something to look at now.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't know that was the new versus deck. That's kind of cool.
Jace versus Verasco.
Oh, that Verasco art looks amazing.
Yes, I very much like the Verasco art. I'm not a fan of the Jace art, but
it's iffy. I already have four Jaces, so I'm not too concerned about that. But that Verasco art's amazing. Jace, and mono blue, and.
By the way, actually, listeners, this is a little bit what it sounds like when we're preparing for a show. Is we'll exchange information about things that the other one might not have seen, and then one will go look at it while the other.
I do like Halimar Depths.
Yes.
In the deck, but Jace is actually fairly. I mean, as much as I know, blue deck with some sort of mill stuff in there, but it's kind of iffy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because part of the that Jace art. I don't know. I like it and I don't at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be polarizing art. You're either going to like it a lot or you're not.
And the Verasco art's perfect, though.
Yeah, I think the Verasco art, I'm a fan of that.
Rogue's Passage, shocker. this will shock some people. I'm actually a bigger fan of the Verasco deck.
Hmm.
That new art for Night's Whisper.
Oh, I don't think I remember seeing. Let me go look this up too. I was trying not to, but you got me. Gonna go there.
Ooh, oh wow. It's got Remand. Oh, that might drop the price of Remand.
Night's Whisper. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that. I like the new Putrid Leech as well. First off, that new Remand art is awesome. Second off, that might drop the price of Remand. That's very cool. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Just a couple weeks away from coming out, huh? Oh,
wow. Yeah. I didn't know that Remand was actually.
It's like a $15 uncommon.
Wow.
It's not cheap.
Hmm. Well, what do you know?
I know that Remand's not cheap.
that I'm sure you do. So, I guess in the only other format we haven't spent too much time on, I do want to mention a couple of things about Legacy. If you followed any of the Star City coverage this weekend, since they were still going strong when, the Pro Tour was done, the Legacy, Star City event was actually won this week by an Imperial Painter deck, which is a little weird. But I'm actually thinking of building this deck because
it's Painter Servant.
Uh huh.
The seal, or is Imperial Seal?
Imperial Recruiter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just so happen to have Imperial Recruiters, which are the expensive bit of the deck.
Clues.
Well, I got those as Judge Foils, so, I happen to have a playset. But the whole deck, the whole idea of the deck is to blow up blue things. I mean, sure, you make everything blue so you can blow it up, but it's to blow up blue things. And so, that calls to me. It calls to something deep in my soul.
Sounds like I hate this deck, Clues.
I think it sounds delightful. So I may give it a try. I don't know. I recently built Dredge and just to give it a try.
Do you not want to play Magic?
I hated that. I will be honest with you. I've still got it built, but I don't know why.
If you don't even enjoy playing it, why would you?
Yeah, you know, I had most of the cards for it anyway. I was just missing a few cheap cards. So I thought, okay, I'll go ahead and build this and I'll give it a try because if I play it, I'll understand it better. And if I understand it better, it's easier for me to beat it.
I understand that part, but I got cards for playing mono green and red green stuff. Just because I have them doesn't mean I play it.
Man, Dredge is, it's not my cup of tea is what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're wrong if you play Dredge. I'm just saying it's not something I enjoy. Also, you're wrong for playing Dredge.
There we go. Doesn't that feel better in your soul?
It does. I figured I'd get a little controversial. People like that sort of thing, let's say.
I will say, watching some of the Pro Tour coverage, I actually saw, because as people know, I'm fairly against green. But there are a few green cards that make me want to play green. And one of those cards is Tooth and Nail. Because it's just combolicious. There's so many good things you can put out there.
Combolicious.
I mean, I was watching the crazy combos that they did. That section was actually pretty cool to watch for the Pro Tour. And one is Tooth and Nail for the Tyrant from Innistrad that destroys a permanent until you destroy a land. And then another creature that gets rid of land. So you just blow up the board for 9 mana. And green, I'm sorry, green is not that hard to get 9 mana pretty early.
Oh, certainly not.
Especially with the new Nykthos stuff people are doing. So that deck actually seemed to appeal. That deck kind of called to me. And I could run that. I have Nykthos. I have Tooth and Nails. I don't think I would need like the fetches. Because then fetches and stuff, because then that makes me immune to Blood Moon. So yeah. So maybe Pro Tour Minneapolis, I'll be playing green and modern, and you guys feel like you can all gasp.
You mean GP Minneapolis?
Whatever, same thing. It's my Pro Tour.
It's like a Pro Tour, let's say.
There's Magic, there's judges, top 8, same thing, right?
Ah, yeah, it's all the same. All the same. All right, well, do we have anything else to ramble about, or should we let the nice folks go?
I think we should let the nice folks go.
All right, so the key takeaways. No show notes this week, we just rambled. Sorry about that. We won't make a habit out of it, but hey, look, we had 50 episodes, we deserved a break.
You can do what we want.
Secondly, we've got a website, we're gonna start putting things there. Again, it's a little rough around the edges right now. It's not very pretty. I think I might commission some artwork from some artist friends of mine to try and make it look pretty. But cardadvantagecast.com. look for stuff starting to happen there. If we
show notes,
it'll be in the show notes. If we make interesting posts, I'm sure we will tweet about it. Surely you're all following us, right? You're following the show, which is at Card Advantage on Twitter, and you're writing to the show at mtgcardadvantage@gmail.com. So, you may as well now just go to cardadvantagecast.com, to check things out there too, because all that stuff will be there and the show notes will be there too. Hey, how about that?
Woo-hoo.
All right.
You can actually learn how to spell my Twitter name.
That's right. That's, or some version of his Twitter name. You know, when I was posting the, old show notes, I was torn. Do I correct your Twitter name in the old show notes or leave them there? And I started to correct them and then I got lazy. And
back
so,
when I was bomb age?
Yeah, that's right.
Who knows? Maybe I'll change it again. Keep you guys on your toes.
That's right. Well, if you want to follow me, if you want to get in touch with me, you can, of course, email the show, or you can hit me up on Twitter. I am at Locke Luzze on Twitter, spelled just like it is in the show notes.
If you want to follow me, I want you to earn it by finding who I am. Yes, it's also in the show notes.
Yeah, it certainly is. And because I don't think I've done it today, if you want to see me in person, be sure to come out to Atomic Empire in Durham, North Carolina. It's a great shop. You should check it out. So there you go. And we will see like everyone and their brother at GP Richmond, because apparently the pre-regs are huge for that.
Nice.
And so hopefully we can make GP Minneapolis just as big. So
I hope so.
You can come out and meet the entire cast of Card Advantage at GP Minneapolis, or at least that's the plan. So
plan. You will. We can get to meet my friends who I talk about, who we play Magic with, and have hilarious stories that I find hilarious, and if you don't, I don't care. I'm going to tell them anyways, because they make me giggle.
That's right. All right, well, I guess we're done with the giggling for an evening. So thank you all for listening, and thank you all for being with us for 50 episodes. We are pleased as punch that you guys out there enjoy what we do, so we're going to keep doing it. And we're going to keep doing it as regularly as we can, but, we, you know, had real life get in the way, but we do have some cool stuff. I don't want to give it away, but we got cool stuff coming. So
it's a true story. It's going to be awesome.
It is. So thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next time.